Hi, I'm Christy Potter, and I'd like to introduce you to my new book, The World Was My Oyster, But I Didn't Know How to Cook. Despite the title, this isn't a cookbook. It's a collection of essays and interviews I've done in my 20-plus years as a journalist and writer. There are a couple of short stories and funky poems thrown in, but it's mostly about writing and creativity and inspiration. It's about the people I've met and the places I've traveled. It's about beauty and sadness and life and all that goes with it. The first excerpt I'd like to share with you is about my home state of Kansas and an incident that happened not long after I'd moved to the New York metro area. Not long after I moved to the East Coast, some friends and I were waiting for a table at a crowded restaurant. The man in front of us struck up a conversation with me and, noticing my accent, asked where I was from. Kansas, I told him. No kidding, he said. I didn't know anyone was actually from Kansas. I thought it was one of those places people ended up by accident, like if they got lost driving to L.A. Do you know Dorothy? Hardy har. There's a lot of stuff people don't know about Kansas, I told him. Most of it you aren't supposed to know. You can't know. There are secrets in that state that are guarded closer than Fort Knox. Like what? He asked, obviously unaware of how the rest of the world defines secret. Well, I glanced around. I guess I can tell you since you don't know my name and you'll never see me again. I leaned closer. People who live in Kansas and own a dog have to name it Toto. State law. You have to register the dog with the state, and the paperwork has to say that its name is Toto. That's where the guy who wrote The Wizard of Oz got it. It was like an inside joke just for us. Nuh-uh, he said, looking at me as though he'd begun to suspect I was an escaped mental patient. Yep, I said, it's true. The next time you bump into someone from Kansas, ask them if they have a dog named Toto. You'll see. They'll roll their eyes and look irritated, but that's just because you got a little too close to the truth. I had him now. Let me ask you this, I said, lowering my voice still further. Do you like bread? Bread? Yeah, of course I do. Have you ever wondered why you like bread so much? Why you wouldn't even consider having a sandwich or toast without it? Have you ever asked yourself, what is in the wheat that makes this so addictive? He stared at me. And speaking of wheat, have you ever noticed that pictures you see of Kansas are always of wheat fields and other country scenes? I asked. Actually, yeah, now I think about it, he said. That's because in the towns, the streets are all yellow brick, I whispered conspiratorially. They won't show that in pictures because, well, you can imagine the onslaught of tourists that would bring. The towns just couldn't handle it. It looks amazingly cool, though, miles and miles of bright yellow brick just stretching out endlessly. Wow, he said. Wow. Really? No, I said and turned back to my friends. Make fun of Kansas, will ya? That'll learn him. The next piece is called The Inspiration of the Changing Seasons. Winter. There is a softness, a stillness, as the last of autumn blows away and winter settles over everything, like the thick haziness that seeps into you in those moments just before you drop off to sleep. Lights begin to twinkle out across roof lines and tree branches. The first snowfall is like a little miracle. Even adults cast their eyes up to watch the drifting flakes and say, "Hey, it's snowing," to people who haven't yet noticed. Children laugh and play in it. Mittens are new. Stocking caps are exciting. Finding ways to warm up is a game. It's hard to say when the novelty of winter begins to wear off, but, like a relationship that had once seemed like a good idea, you find yourself wondering how much longer it can possibly last. The sun thrusts its cold light through the bare branches into shards that pierce your eyes. The snow is now piled into hard mounds dirtied by car exhaust. New snowfalls are greeted with disgust. Salt has turned the pavement prematurely gray. And then one day, bits of grass begin to peek out as the snow recedes. Trees begin to bud. The first robin is heralded like a returning war hero. And spring. Your face, so long cast down to brace against the icy wind, is now upturned, soaking up the warmth of the sun like a parched bed when in the rain. Spirits are up, strollers and running shoes come out, lines at the car wash stretch down the block, curtains flutter around open windows. Even breathing seems easier as everything rouses from its sub-zero slumber. Crocuses and daffodils have never been more beautiful. The trees are alive with birdsong, everything looks clean and shiny and fresh. You bury your face against spring's shoulder and try to make it promise to never leave you again. The sun begins to linger in the evening like the last party guest. Soon trees and allergies are in full bloom, and lawns begin to want cutting, even though, wait, didn't you just do that? Days gradually get warmer, hovering in that zone of uncertainty over whether or not it's hot enough to turn on the air conditioner. and then, without warning, the inside of your car tries to melt you like a crayon the second you sit down. The sun is suddenly intense in its attentions, and summer. You know your legs look like twin flags of surrender, but you break out the shorts anyway. You start wondering how many vacation days you can squeeze in before your boss notices, and why adults don't get summers off like kids do. Now is when you need vacations, for crying out loud. You spend lazy weekends in the backyard, drink in hand, wondering if anyone ever got around to inventing a smartphone lawn mowing app. Weekdays, your office is freezing, and you keep finding yourself working way too late because now the sun no longer lingers like the last party guest, and never freaking leaves like your in-laws at the holidays. It's 85 degrees all night long, and you lie awake and wonder if putting your underwear in the freezer would make you some kind of pervert or just weird, and then you kick all the covers off, and who the hell cares anyway because it's just so hot, and maybe you should sue the company who makes your air conditioner because clearly it is not working. Then one morning you step out of your house and you feel it. That teasing breath of coolness, that almost imperceptible shift in the air that tells you that change is almost here, and autumn. The oppressive heat of summer slowly lifts and you feel like you can breathe again. The sun mellows a bit and the breezes are refreshing, revitalizing. The sky that made you marvel first at the snow and then at the sun is now ablaze with bronze leaves and thick purple sunsets. You break out your jacket and start thinking about apples in both pie and cider form, and spices and coffee and nuts, and whether there is any flavor in the world more perfect than pumpkin. You find yourself taking candy corn from the bowl at work and thinking the calories don't count because you don't even really like candy corn, but then those little bite-sized candy bars make their appearance and, well, yeah, those you like. Damn. You dig out thicker socks and start lighting candles and wishing you could go back to college just to walk across the campus in the crunchy leaves. But instead, you rent St. Elmo's fire and snuggle down into autumn with a melancholy look and a soft sigh. And one day you notice the trees are bare of leaves and the breeze has gone from a caress to a pinch. The skies fade to a slate color and... The World Was My Oyster, But I Didn't Know How to Cook is available for Nook and Kindle. For more information, visit www.theworldwasmyoyster.com. To read more of my work, visit my website at www.christytherwriter.com.